White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 792. Shh.
This is Sonny Smith, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
You can't spell ugly win without Ugga. The AU Wishbone, it's next.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
The Auburn crowd can smell it. They can taste it. They can almost see Minneapolis.
I'm not even hungry, and I can taste it.
The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Recorded live from the palatial expanse of John's bedroom in Auburn, Alabama. It's the AU Wishbone Podcast, John. How are you this afternoon, this Sunday afternoon, sir?
I'm well, Van, and it's crazy to record a podcast and to look across the room and see you
Yes. And
not look at you on the little picture on my monitor.
It's crazy, I know, but there it is. I'm your host, Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And we are in John's home, his family home in Auburn. And this has been quite the whirlwind weekend, has it not?
It's been a great weekend. It's been very busy, but it's been very successful and very fun.
For a weekend that started with us fighting like hurricane force rains, it felt like, getting drenched and dealing with all of that on Friday, it just got better and better from there. And so we've got a lot to talk about. We'll give you just a little bit of information on what all we did. We have some big Boris the Tiger news to share that's really awesome. It's very exciting. Everybody in the world will be excited except Jared. And and then, of course, we'll talk about what's going on with the football practice. We'll talk about what happened to the basketball team. We were at the game last night. That was awesome.
Yes. The first-hand impressions.
Yeah, first-hand impressions of the team, the crowd, the arena, everything. It was really, really cool. It's the first game we've gotten, at least I've gotten to go to, I think, this year. Now, we don't have... John, I have some bad news for you. I want you to brace yourself, okay?
I'm bracing.
We don't have the soundboard.
Oh, no. Oh, how awful.
How will John How will he survive? Yeah. We're using the minimal audio setup of my portable studio. So we have Audacity on a laptop that we were recording with, but we don't have the soundboard on here. I guess I needed to add that, but oh well. So, and in fact, I'll be running all this through Levelator, so hopefully we don't sound terrible. We're using an old microphone that I had retired on a laptop in John's old bedroom. But we've recorded this show in some interesting places. We recorded this show in like a conference room in Arkansas.
We did.
Late last year, which was really interesting.
And that was a beautiful view.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was great. The mountains and everything. Yeah, so it was just far enough away from the mountains that you couldn't see the Vendetta Dueling Hillbillies. They were lost in the shuffle of all that foliage. It was great.
Couldn't see them.
Couldn't, yeah. So basically, it's the Auburn Fun Meter. It's our weekly measurement of how much fun it is to be an Auburn fan right now. So on a scale of 0 to 10, John, having done all the stuff we've done this week, where is your Auburn fun meter right now?
It's pretty high. I mean, we got to go to the basketball game in person. It was senior day.
Big win. Double-digit win over Georgia.
Yeah. I hate Georgia, so beating them is always an extra little something.
A little something. Got to meet all the great Auburn fans, a lot of patrons, a lot of other folks, listen to the show. People. So
I think I'm a 9. I've had a great week as an Auburn fan, and I think it's been a really fun week. There's a lot going on, in a lot of sports, but and we feel good about the basketball team and where they are too. So I think I'm a 9.
And the baseball team was playing. We didn't see them, but they're out there going on. A lot of people in town for both games, both series. I think the only other way it could have been higher is if we had like won a big football game in the middle of all this, just to kind of round it out or something. But otherwise, yeah, I agree. This is a 9. This is a strong 9. This isn't like a barely got to 9.
Yeah.
This is like a strong 9, honestly. Also some good food. Yeah. We got to, We ate at Taco Mama in Birmingham. I'd never had that before. It didn't exceed Torchy's, but it was about as good as you could be without a giant, without a cast iron skillet full of queso chili. It was pretty darn good.
Not bad.
That's right. So, and we got Guthrie's.
That's it.
What's a trip to Auburn without Guthrie's?
Always good to go back to the classics.
Oh, the classics. So good. So, yeah, I mean, Raising Cane's is fine, but honestly, when I have Guthrie's, I remember, what if the chicken were a little bit better than Raising Cane's? And what if the French fries were substantially better than Raising Cane's? The answer, if I said, what if the chicken was not as good and what if the fries were kind of the same, the answer there is Zaxby's. Mm. Mm. But Guthrie's kicked it great. So I need to tell the big Boris news.
Okay.
All right, so we're recording this on Sunday afternoon, and John and I ran around campus a little bit earlier today, and we wanted to get some pictures. We wanted to see some things, but we also wanted to get some pictures of Boris. My wife, you know, is like Boris's personal manager and like looks out for him, and so she sent me on a mission to get a picture of him at the new Albee statue, right? So my number one goal was get a picture of Boris with the new Albee statue. And as I was leaving the house to come down here, my wife said, now, if you could get a picture of Boris with actual Albee himself, and I said, sorry, I just spit all over John. I'm not used to when I spit actually being somebody there to get spat upon. Sorry about that, John. So I said, that's not going to happen. There's no way in the world that's ever going to happen, right? So get this. We're walking around campus. We go up to Albee statue. We get pictures of Boris with the Albee statue. Then we go over to the little plaza on the side of the south end of the stadium, mm-hmm. where the Tiger statue is and where the coaches' statues are. And I'm taking pictures of Boris with that Tiger statue there at the little where the gates are. And as we're standing there taking pictures of Boris with the Tiger statue, the door to Jordan-Hare opens, and in the corner of my eye, I see movement, and I look up, and I kind of have to blink and rub my eyes. Albee comes out with his little bicycle, and I'm just, I don't think you saw him at first, did you?
No.
I'm standing there staring with my mouth hanging open going, could it possibly be? I thought, it's some kid in an Albee costume or something, yeah. Right? And then he starts to get on his bike, and I'm like, Albee! And I go running over to him like he's going to be assaulted and have to call the police, right? And I hand him Boris, and I take a picture of him with Boris, and then he fist bumped us.
That's it.
And he rode off on his bike. It was the strangest drive-by Albeeing I've ever could have imagined.
It was so weird because it was Van and I were the only two people on that side of the street even.
Yeah, there was nobody
else around. He just came over and visited with us and then kept on cruising.
He popped out of his door and came over and then, yeah. So huge, exciting moment for an Albee sighting. And this is what's great. We didn't even take our picture with him, but we got Boris's picture with him. So Boris says to Jared, the gauntlet has been thrown down now. Get your picture with Albee next, Jared, to keep up with the king, right?
Mm.
Yeah, he's thrown down the gauntlet. So, by the way, I got to tell you another quick Boris story about Albee and all. While we were doing our book signing on Saturday, yesterday, at the Auburn store, the Auburn Oil bookstore, booksellers, I think it was Samuel Salvatore that said there was another person that came up. We talked to Sam for a while, so hey Sam, shout out to you. It was awesome to meet you and your wife. Somebody came up and said, I listened to your show. This is Boris. I thought Boris was like one of the patrons that you just make fun of. And I was like, that's so awesome. It totally makes sense to me that would be the case. But like, no, he's an actual little critter here. So anyway, that's the Boris update. I'm sure Boris is very excited. He got a Boris update. But do you want to talk about the bookstore first, the trip?
Yeah. The reason that we are here in Auburn at all is because we wanted to go to these two bookstores and do book signings for our new book, First Time Ever, about the 1989 Auburn-Alabama game. And so Friday night, we were in Homewood near Birmingham at the Whittle Professor bookstore. Had a great turnout. It was wonderful to meet everybody that came by. And that was a very successful event.
Shout out to McCall, who set it up for us and was really cool to work with, and all of the people that, and her co-workers there.
And I want to shout out whichever patron came up with the idea, even, of us doing an event in Birmingham. I do not remember who that was. Do you remember?
No. Somebody said do the little, because I had said we could, somebody said do Birmingham. I said, I guess we could do Books a Million.
Yep.
And I contacted them, and it really wasn't going anywhere. And then another patron or somebody said,
Little Professor.
Call Little Professor. And they were like, yeah, let's do it.
And it was great. It went really well. It was a fun event. And a lot of people came out on a terrible rainy evening.
Yeah, the weather was horrible, but there was free beer.
And Kathy Bright came and helped do crowd control, which we appreciated.
Big shout out to Kathy. Kathy is so good. She's not just a friend of the show. She's a part of the AU Wishbone inner circle family. And we appreciate her so much. She helps us out at Dragon Con every year, Jared and me, and is so good. And she helped John and me out and Boris out with the book signing, and she was great. So we appreciate that.
Yep. And then yesterday, Saturday, we went to Auburn Oil Booksellers, as Van said, in downtown Auburn near Toomer's Corner. And
that was even better.
Even better. It was a beautiful day.
We had good weather.
We got to sit outside and foot traffic by Toomer's Corner. A bunch of people came by and stopped. People bought books and we signed them, and people stopped just to introduce themselves and say, that they listened to the show and they'd heard about the show. And I think it was a big success. The people there at the bookstore were very excited to have us and welcome and invited us to come back and do it again.
The owners or managers that we dealt with at both bookstores were super nice before the event, and I think they were both a little shocked by the time they were both done, because I think we probably moved 50-something books in Birmingham on a rainy night for an hour, and 70-plus in Auburn. And I mean, we have hardly anything left. I had two complete shipments, like 12 boxes of books, and I think we have like 1.5 boxes left.
Now, so that's a measure of the success of these two events. And I want to thank everybody who came out to say hi and get some books and get them signed. It was really, really exciting.
It was awesome. So the people that deserve the credit are all the folks that came out and bought books and talked to us and everything. And I mentioned Sam. We mentioned Kathy. And I know Willie Carden came by. There were a whole lot of other folks that are listeners, just too many to remember. I mean, I think Rob Morgan came by.
Rob Morgan, and we saw Walt. We saw
Walt,
Spanky.
Yes. Spanky. Oh man, there was so. I'm afraid we're forgetting 50.
I know we're forgetting 50 people, but
I do remember those for sure. Yeah, because we had long conversations with all of them, and it was great. Yeah, but there were a number of people that came by and said they listened to the show for 10 years, you know, or longer. And
yes,
there was one person said I started in 2013. I said, well, you didn't miss anything then, right? Because all you missed was 2012. That was the year to miss if you're going to miss.
One guy told us he listens to the show multiple times.
That was interesting. Yeah, he said it's just a very soothing, calming. That's awesome. I mean, I'm glad that we're, you know, because we've always said that we are sort of therapy for the Auburn family when we have a loss or something. So it's good to know that we can have a good effect on our listeners. That's, and not just make them want to kill us like it seemed like some do.
And it is I really appreciate it too, because as we've said before, sometimes when you record a podcast, it's like you're shouting into the void of the internet and you don't know if anybody's listening. So when you meet real human beings that are listening and that they appreciate it and they enjoy it, then it makes you feel good about doing it.
Absolutely. And that has happened every single time. You know, we've told the story before that I did a reading at Dragon Con several years ago, and that lady said that she had the Kick Six show downloaded on her phone, so when she had a bad day, she'd just turn that on. That's so cool, right? That's the kind of thing that people were saying yesterday and Friday. So, yeah, just a really great experience all the way around, and thanks to everybody that helped make that happen. That was so cool. And then we got to go to the basketball game, and we're going to talk about the basketball
game. That's it. It's time to shift to basketball.
Let's transition over to the basketball game. So, first, there's the Missouri game. This is a game I so wanted to go to. It was 2 hours from my house. But they play every time we play Missouri, it's not on a Saturday, and it's not even in a decent hour. It's like late night on a school night, and a work night. So didn't get to go. But we beat their pants off. 101-74. And the best part to me, we got the 101st point on a 3-pointer by Dylan Cardwell. How awesome was that?
That was great.
That's like the last thing you expect to happen is Dylan to just chuck it up there and knock it down with. If that had been the game winner, he would have missed.
Nah, that's true.
But because it didn't matter other than to give us 100 points.
And we jumped out to a big lead, and then they got close at halftime, and it was like 4 or 5 points at halftime, mm-hmm. and we were like, this is... But it was also... I want to give some credit to the Missouri players because they're winless, but they didn't give up, right? They didn't roll over. We saw the same thing last night. They were playing LSU. They didn't roll over. They kept coming. And this game, they played a valiant first half, and in the second half, Auburn just came out and took care of business, and it was over.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that was a good sign because I had been more worried about the Missouri game than I was the Georgia game. I felt like senior day, last game of the year against a big rival at home. I mean, everything was in our favor.
Yes, yes, yes.
But
yes.
Missouri, we never play well in that stadium on the road.
And a team like the...
Desperate.
A desperate team and a team you could blame our players for not getting up for.
You could, exactly.
We got those guys.
And we saw last night that LSU nearly did that.
Yes, exactly.
So... while Missouri does finish the SEC regular season without ever winning a game, they pushed LSU to the wall. And then they got down, and they came back at the end. We looked up and like, whoa, it's like 3 points all of a sudden.
Yeah, then they were shooting three-pointers at the end of the game trying to steal it.
Yeah, so it could have happened. That could have been us easily, if we were off. If we had one of our 2-for-30 shooting games, three-point mm-hmm. shooting games, yeah. So we're glad we got the Missouri game behind us and won that. And that means also that winning that Georgia game meant we closed out the season 3-0, like we said was our best case scenario, Yes. So all we could do is win and then hope that the teams around us, at least somebody lost to, we knew we weren't going to win the SEC. That was just a bridge too far, but to give us a top 4 seed.
Yep.
And that's how it shook out.
It did. It worked out our way. And I'm happy with it. I think that's as we said at the beginning of the season, that's a goal that we always think about, and we made it. So I think that's part of a measure of success for this team.
So Tennessee, and then Kentucky, and then Alabama, and then us are the four. And South Carolina, who almost led the conference much of the year and was beating everybody, ends up
fifth,
having to play on the day before the round that we do. So that's. But it also worked out in terms of, and we're going to get to the Georgia game in a second, but just since we're thinking about it, it also works out that we are not in the bracket with Florida. We're in the South Carolina bracket, which seems to me, based on prior experience...
I'd much rather play South Carolina than Florida.
Yes.
The size Florida has caused us real problems. Mm-hmm. And I think they were coming on late in the year, and South Carolina was kind of fading. Yeah. They won some games in the year, but they're not the juggernaut that people thought they were.
No, I still don't know how South Carolina won the games that they did because they did not impress me at all. Florida, I mean, I feel like Florida can make some noise in both tournaments now. Mm-hmm. They seem to be on the way up.
Yep.
South Carolina is maybe not on the way down, but they're certainly not on the way up like Florida is right now. Alabama doesn't seem to be on the way up. I feel like they kind of peaked and are kind of...
They did 100%. Their defense is terrible. It's over... It's like 120th in the country or something. Oh, so gosh. I think Alabama is the exact kind of team that's going to lose in an upset in the NCAA tournament. I think you can write that down and take it to the bank. They're going to face some mid-major team who shoots well, and Alabama has a little bit of an off day, and they can't defend.
I feel like they're the kind of team, they'll get in the tournament and outscore a little team.
Yes.
And then in the second round, when they get a middle-of-the-road legit team, it'll be a dogfight.
Yeah,
exactly. And there's no way they get beyond the 16.
I don't think so.
There's no way they get beyond the 16. So, all right, so the Georgia game, 92-78. We jumped on them early, but just never really could put them away, never pulled away. It was one of those games where we get that, double-digit cushion barely, and then just kind of... they'll close it in a little. We maintain it. Yeah, they'll close in a little bit, and then we'll stretch it back out. And then they'll close in, and we'll stretch it back out. But you and I agreed earlier, though, John, that we never for a second felt like we were going to lose.
No.
I never felt like they were going to take the lead.
From the opening tip, I never felt like we were in danger.
Right.
And they would get it down to 8, and I would get frustrated.
Yeah.
Right, and then we'd put a little spur to take it back to 16 or something, and then they'd bring it back down.
Yeah, we would get frustrated over our performance as opposed to worried that we were in danger. That's two different things. It's like you're painting a masterpiece, but you're like, is it the Mona Lisa or is it some abstract thing? You know it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be valuable. But what kind of valuable is it going to be? Is it going to be one where you win by 3 or 4 and go, man, we barely beat Georgia? Or is it going to be one where you win by 40? Or is it going to be one of these where you just kind of like stay ahead of them by 12 the whole game? And that's kind of what it turned out to be. It was just kind of maintaining it. And I mean, and they really wanted to win. They were playing hard. We got to talk about, you know, the term I used was they turned it into a rock fight.
It was ugly.
They wanted to drag us down in the mud. Because when both teams are in the mud, you don't know who might actually find a way to crawl out, right? Mm-hmm. So what were they doing that was making it like that?
I mean, I think number one, you're going to see this with other teams, but Georgia was like, they had seen how Chad Baker Mazar reacted in the last few games, and they of course did OKD well, and I think they probably thought on senior day the emotions would be even higher.
Yeah, that's true.
And that they could get Auburn into some emotional outbursts, but also kind of get inside Auburn's heads and get them, you know, reacting and playing emotionally and make it kind of a, you know, some cheap shots in there and some extracurricular stuff to get Auburn off their game. And I think that was part of their game plan, honestly. And they tried it, and it made the game uglier, especially in the second half. It became a referee fest.
It did.
But I think it did not, to Auburn's credit, you know, KD got a technical on senior day, which is where he was recognized.
That's like that was almost required. Almost, you know, somehow.
It is. But I don't think it. I don't think their strategy succeeded, which I think is a good thing and a credit to Auburn that we didn't let them get inside our heads and mess us up
more than they did. I mean, a little bit, but yeah, no, and I agree, and I think that I worry that the book on this Auburn team now is going to be get them emotional, right? Just like, you know, the book on, I'll get this figured out eventually, just like the book on the 2022 team with Kessler and Jabari, you know, became figure out ways to keep them under the goal, and you could, you know, make them rely on the guards and, yeah, you know, all that. I worry that they're going to start like really trying to provoke. Other teams are going to try to provoke, and they've got to learn how to deal with that. Especially, I'm really getting worried about Chad Baker Mazar, because I mean, KD is going to KD under any circumstance. KD doesn't get worse when you provoke him. He is how he is regardless.
He's just 100 miles an hour.
Right. And so there's no 11 on him. He's at 10 all the time. You don't go to 11. But Chad Baker Mazar can be very good when he's in control of himself, and he can melt down a little like KD, and he has an 11, and he'll get a technical, and he gets in trouble, and he makes mistakes.
He was talking the whole game yesterday, whole game.
And he talks to the refs a lot, too.
He does. And I think, again, there was a play where he got held and some other stuff that he should have been mad about, but I think you're right. I think Georgia got to him a little bit and took him out of his game. But they didn't take everybody out of their game.
No, no. And it really does help that we have two complete teams. Mm-hmm. And we can do that shift change every 5 minutes or so. Because when one group starts to get frustrated and angry and emotional and everything, just switch the whole team out. You know, if Trey Donaldson is struggling and Dylan has got 3 fouls and, you know, and KD is yelling and screaming and getting emotional, you just switch the whole side out. You just put a whole new team in there, and suddenly you've got Janai Broome and Holloway, and it's like, where's the – we actually, you know, that's the first three. We went from the second to the first, you know, so it makes a huge difference. Being able to do that is huge.
It does matter, and I think it really wears on the other teams, like because the intensity level never drops. We're going to play with that really great defensive effort and put pressure on them on offense all the time. And so I think that's tough for other teams to deal with.
And sometimes it's group A that's doing really well, and sometimes group B. There's no rhyme or reason to it, right? Like, there have been games where the Dylan Cardwell, whoever the backup point guard is that game, the team that, let's put it this way, there have been times that the group of five out there that does not include Broome and Jalen Williams, okay, is that, mm-hmm. okay, that group often does better. But then there are times that they struggle, and then we go back to Janai and Jalen in that group, and they do better, right? Yeah. So it's hard to predict. You don't know how you're going
to... But I think it's one of the things that makes this team really hard to beat.
Yeah.
Is you can't say, oh, we're going to take this away. Like, right. You can't say, we're taking Broome away, and then they have no options. Because yeah. we're like, oh, that's fine. You know, what you double-team Broome, he's going to hit the open shooter like they did some yesterday, and we're going to... You know, we could do the drop off to Jalen Williams. We could do some other stuff,
and we had a ton of assists.
We did. In the first half yesterday, they had 19 baskets and 17 assists. And then, what did they say at the end of the game? It was 29 assists.
And they thought it was 30, and they were looking at it. Yeah.
So that would be the most in the Pearl era at Auburn, which wow. is crazy.
Yeah.
To think that we witnessed that, but also like. I think it shows there's a lot of unselfish play and right. hitting the open guy and creating better shots.
Well, the idea that Jared Harper and Javon McCormick's team, when he was the backup, mm-hmm. could not be the assist leader is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And it showed because it's not just the point guards making the assists on this team. They all make assists for each other on this team. Yes. That's what's really impressive. And speaking of which, Denver Jones, old Dr. Jones, old Colorado Jones, right? He had a big game.
He did. He was hot from three-point range, and the other guys were finding him, mm-hmm. right? The defense was coming in on Broome and Jalen, and Denver was standing out there in the open spot, and they hit him, and he made it.
He did. Yeah, he made, like, what, seven or something?
7 3-pointers. He had a great game, and I'm glad he's heating up at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good sign.
Well, because we knew that this team has players on it that can score and just haven't been.
Yes.
So if you get Denver Jones and if you get some of those other guys, Chaney Johnson, yes, those guys, if you get some of them to start firing it up now and adding to that total, that I mean, we could have over 100 every night if we could really get that cranking, depending on who we're playing, you know. So.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like you read the total out for the game. We scored 92 points, and I don't feel like we played that well offensively.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm like, how are we got 92? How do we have 92? Because it wasn't like somebody other than Denver Jones with some three-pointers. It really was kind of a group effort, just grinding away, staying relentlessly ahead of them by 12.
It was. The memorable plays to me were the two Jalen dunks, the one where he absolutely postered the Georgia guy.
Oh, yes.
And then the one at the end of the first half where they yes. pushed the ball up the court so quickly. When Chad got it and then he turned around and passed it, I was like, oh, no, we're going to run out of time.
There's not enough time for that, Chad. Just shoot it. And they did. They got it. Right at the buzzer. I mean, it was yes. close. They had to review it because, of course, But yeah, he threw down a dunk just before the buzzer. That was so. Those two dunks by Jalen, I thought, really were the plays of the game, and they
were. And that senior day in front of the crowd, like that was a big, big thing. I was so happy for him.
Yes, and it was fun to get to see it live. We hadn't gone to. Had you been to a game this season?
I went to the Southern Cal game at the beginning right, of yeah. the season.
Yeah, yeah, and I hadn't been to one since the one we. Which one did we go to? Last year.
It's like Long Beach State or somebody like that.
Something like that, yeah. So this was really fun, and I appreciate you getting us to get to go see that. That was a lot of fun, and that's it. That's the regular season. We did have Senior Day, so we've seen the last of Dylan and several other players, Janai, KD.
Leor and Jalen Williams are definitely out of eligibility. Jalen Williams, the winningest player in Auburn program history.
They didn't even do... They weren't even honored because they were honored last year.
That's it. But this year, you're right, it was a big group and it was emotional. Their families were there. And I think Auburn does a great job with that stuff. But Dylan and Janai and KD and Junkyard Dog, what's his name, number five?
Chris Moore. Yeah, I forgot before. Sorry, Chris.
But I mean, that's a lot of turnover.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's both of our big guys.
Yes.
As my wife hates when they say, that's both of our bigs. So I hope that Bruce is out looking for some young bigs.
Oh, but also I think...
Have you heard that new album by Young Bigs? Oh, man, he throws down the rap in the new...
It was a big tour.
Yep, Young Bigs, man.
So Clearly, we have openings where, you know, we have a commitment or signees from a five-star point guard and a four-star wing who are coming in next year.
Good.
And you're right, we need centers. But also, I think if you are I'm sure they'll look at high school recruits, but if you are a transfer center from another school or smaller school and you want to step up a level to SEC, you have to look at not just the system and how it's benefited these guys, but how both of those guys have developed.
Oh, yes.
Dylan Cardwell is so much better a player than he was 3 years ago.
Absolutely.
It's impressive, and it's a lot of it is his personal work, the time he put in, but some of it is the coaches figuring out, this is what you can do, and this is how we need to use you.
Which is pretty different from how they'd used Janai. They use them both very differently. They both are really good, but in very different ways.
Yes.
It's interesting, yeah. I mean, obviously, Dylan's not considered the same offensive threat as Janai. Why that is, I don't really know.
I mean, I think Janai has better moves. He has better footwork and stuff around the basket. And a little better touch, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but Dylan is a great defensive player.
He is.
He can do the alley-oop too. He runs the floor
incredibly well.
Yeah,
and
he's an emotional leader too.
He is, and he is a very good defensive player. And I think he's gotten much better at that. I think a couple of years ago, you know, some other experienced centers used to take advantage of him, and now I think he gets in there and, you know, he's causing problems for people. That guy, the Chihuahua guy for Georgia, the big guy, was a problem all game.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But the. You know, between Cardwell and Broome, they really, you know, put the squeeze on him over the course of the game.
Yeah, and I feel like he had four fouls by the end of the game and was having to be limited a little bit.
Yes.
One of them.
Yes, did, I think he did.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, really glad we got to go to that. It was really fun to be in the arena again. The only thing I will say is I wish they had more restrooms because I missed like the first 5 minutes of the second half waiting in line to use the restroom. All right. So coming up. We've got the 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern-ish. We're not exactly sure. Maybe we are by now after the games are all over. We play the winner of, Arkansas and Vanderbilt play each other on Wednesday. Wednesday, of all things. That's crazy.
And the winner of that plays South Carolina on Thursday.
And then the winner of that plays us. So probably South Carolina, but you never know.
Yeah.
But I wish we'd save some of those points against South Carolina to use later. We'll just take a 1-point win and save the other 39 points for if we see them in the tournament, you know. That'd be nice. But just a team we beat by 40. So I'm sure they're going to want revenge, and maybe that'll mean we only beat them by 20 this time.
And we may not shoot as well, not at home. We really, every shot was falling that day. But they don't have the size that I think causes problems for Broome and Cardwell and Jalen. Right. And I think those guys will have very effective games against the South Carolina team.
John, think about this. If we play South Carolina, we don't know. It could be Arkansas playing better. Vanderbilt's playing better. Beat Florida.
Yeah. And Arkansas took some out of overtime.
Alabama.
That's right.
But if we play South Carolina could score 39 more points on us than they did last time, and we still win. That's crazy.
That's pretty good.
That's insane. 39 points better, and we still win.
I feel like our defense really caused them some problems, too. I think our defensive intensity caused them problems. We created a lot of turnovers in that game and got some easy baskets out of it.
I mean, we may have just caught them at a bad time or something for them, but they did not impress me. I was like,
I think they have some good players.
How is this team beating people? Yeah.
I think they have some good players. I think they play well. But again, they play that. The other thing is they play that style where they want to slow down, milk the clock, take a good shot at the last second after using the whole shot clock so there's fewer possessions and stuff. And I'm sure they're going to try that again against us and see what they can do.
On a neutral court instead of in the big Peacock in Neville. What about the football team? Is there anything going on? I mean, just more practice?
Yeah, well, they're on spring break, so there hasn't been any practice this week. They're coming back, you know, today is Sunday, and I think they're coming back into class, and then I'm going to start practicing again, and then before long, we'll have a scrimmage, and then we'll actually learn something.
Then we'll learn something, a little bit. We still won't know as much as we'd like to know at that point, but we will know more than we know now.
So, all right. So we don't have a whole lot of football news to report right now. Although, again, we didn't even talk about this much last time, but the word on the street does seem to be that Cam Coleman is the real deal. To whatever degree you can say that after a week or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah, he seems to be.
He has met all the expectations so far. So we'll see once we actually they get into scrimmages and he's practicing against the first team defensive backs and stuff, trying to make catches, what he can do. But.
And what I'm really interested to see, and let's talk for just a second about football. What are we really wanting to see? I'm wanting to see the other receivers because we had a couple left over from last year that didn't leave or whatever, or crap out or graduate. And we brought in, we didn't just bring that Cam Coleman in, we brought in some other four-star.
Yep. We have Bryce Kane is in spring practice. Mm-hmm. He's a very fast four-star slot receiver. And we got the guy Robert Lewis who transferred from Georgia State.
Yeah.
Who I think Jason Caldwell compared to Eli Stove when we talked about him as a signee. So
I'll take another Eli Stove. He was very useful.
He was an effective guy with the ball in his hand. So I think I'm interested to see what he could do. I'm interested to see what Caleb Burton can do with an offseason in the weight room and some more time. But also, I'm interested to see a little bit of kind of how does the passing game development and how does the offense look different?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's Freeze's offense now. They're implementing it. How does it look different when we? And again, it's not going to be a finished product. But are there some things we see that we're like, oh, that's not something.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the type of receivers that we haven't had a lot of lately are the old Terrell Zachary type that could just streak down the sideline and catch a bomb for 80 yards and carry the distance. We've had a lot of guys that could run around and catch a 10-yard pass and get tackled or something, or not catch a, not get open. Yeah. But it would be nice, at least one of these guys, to be a deep threat that can run down the field and beat coverage and catch a long pass.
And catch a contested pass.
Yeah, that it's been a while.
No, I want to see that too.
That would be very nice.
And I want to see how does the defense look different, right? We have a different defensive coordinator, so the scheme is obviously going to be a little bit different. I'm interested to see who steps up among the young guys on the defensive line, who can make some plays there. And I'm excited. Again, just like Cam Coleman, we have a bunch of stud freshmen, playing on defense this spring, and I want to see some of those guys step up and make plays. So
it's also going to be interesting to when people suddenly realize partway into this coming season that Auburn has not missed a field goal since the head coach was Potato. I mean, that's crazy. We've never missed a field goal under Hugh Freeze's coaching. And that's more Alex McPherson.
I was going to say, no pressure for Mr. McPherson.
Yeah, but I almost wanted to come out in a bad game.
We're up 30.
We're up 30.
In the early games, just miss one.
Just miss one, get it out of your system, and then start all over again. Because I don't like it coming. I don't want to go into like the Georgia game needing that field goal to win and feeling like he's sitting on a no-hitter that's gone 75 innings. You know what I mean? You need to blow it out. And then get
the pressure off.
Yeah, I worry a little bit. But if he wants to go his entire career and never miss a field goal, I won't complain.
More power to him.
More power to him. Absolutely. So, all right, quick updates. I will point out that the book, First Time Ever, is now available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, as well as the Auburn Basketball from Barkley to Bruce. And I want to make a special request to AU Wishbone listeners and our patrons and those that have got the book now, because quite a few of you got the book now. It went up officially this past weekend. And the last time I checked, which was probably yesterday afternoon, it had one rating. On Amazon, you can do a rating where you just give number of stars and that's it. Or you can put a review and put a star rating both. And I totally understand that a lot of people are not comfortable typing out a whole review. That's fine. Although, if you do, we really, 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 really appreciate it. If that's not your thing, fine. But if you got the book and you're happy with it one way or another, go on Amazon now that it's up and leave us a star rating. Maybe drop, say, just a couple of words, whatever. You can leave paragraphs if you want. But the more ratings it gets, hopefully they're good. I trust they're good because I have confidence in this book. The more other Auburn fans will be able to find it when they search for, what's a good Auburn book? It'll come up if it has more ratings and reviews and stuff, and more people will find it and get to experience all the stuff that we learned writing it and that you guys have found reading it. So go on Amazon and go to the book. Just search for First Time Ever Plexico Ringer. It'll come up. And then just leave us a review and a rating. That would be really, really cool. Let's get a Fantasy Formula One update. There's now been two races. The funny thing, John, is that you and I were running around doing stuff yesterday on Saturday, and it was one of those rare Saturday races. I didn't even remember it was on. So I'd forgotten there's already been a second race. This was the Saudi Arabia, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so here now are the current standings for the Fantasy Formula One. And if you want to play, by the way, I'm about to tell you how. You go to www.auwishbone.com and become a patron. And then there's a link that'll take you over to join up. There's only been two races, so there's plenty of time left to get involved. You can make up to two teams and compete in our league. Lane Middleton's Qualified Disaster is number 10. Joshua Corbett's Aubiemobile is number 9. Eric Morgan's Mississippi Racing is number 8. Eric's second team, Scuderia Aguila Guerra, which is like Scuderia. Scuderia means like, you know, the team. War Eagle in Italian is number 7. Number 6 is Alan J. Porter, the great James Bond expert with his Megrin Racing. Number 5 is Lane Middleton's other team, which is like every Formula One team's name combined, so I'm not going to try to pronounce that. Number 4 is Alpha Plexi by me. That's my second team. By the way, I noticed that Formula One flagged both of my team names as questionable, possible, offensive, and were considering taking them down.
I'm offended.
I like it. My team names are Alpha Plexi and Toro Plexico. That's my name. If you find those offensive, you're finding my name offensive.
I'm offended.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to go into the website and complain right now.
Oh, good gosh.
Maybe they'll take your team down.
Good gosh. Take my. They said they replace your name with a name with name holder.
That would be great.
Like Team One.
Team Uno.
Don't go and complain, please. Number 3 is Ringers Ringers, which is Alexandra.
Yes.
Number 2, she's always good. Number 2 is Joshua Corbett's other team with Tiger Transit. And your new number 1 for this week after two races is Toro Plexico. I am by 1 point ahead of Joshua, 404 to 403. So I take that to mean that Max Verstappen must have had a good weekend because he's my entire team, basically. So there you go. So there are the current Fantasy Formula One standings for our Fantasy Formula One League. Next up, mention the book.
Before you do that.
Oh, the email. Yeah, go ahead.
For the patrons, the college basketball bracket pick'em coming because a week from today, we'll get the bracket announcement. So watch your emails, patrons. I'm going to be sending it out next weekend. You're going to get a link to join the group. We'll use ESPN.com again. You'll get an invitation to join the bracket pool. So we'll talk about it on next week's show as a reminder to say, hey, make sure you got the email, get your picks in, because games will start like 10 days from now. So you just be watching and be ready for that to get your brackets and your picks in. And have a chance to beat Van and I and Boris.
Oh, and there it
Jared.
Is.
Look out.
Oh, look out. There it is. Yeah, that's when we get like 15, 20 people to do the Fantasy Formula One, but we get like 50 to do the NCAA tournament bracket. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Nobody wants to lose to a stuffed animal, so make sure you sign up and at auwishbone.com, become a patron, and then you'll get all the information. I was going to mention, too, so we're able to get our patrons' information out to them, but I wanted to be able to reach people beyond just our patrons because not everybody is able to be a patron. Not everybody's right for them. We understand that. But we wanted to be able to contact everybody that listens to the show that would be interested in stuff that's going on that we're doing. And so what we have is a new email list, and this is absolutely not going to spam you. We will not allow that. In fact, I haven't even sent an email out yet using it, but we put together a MailChimp email list. And if you go to www.auwishbone.com, you can just put your email address in there and your name. And I think that's all I told it to ask for. I didn't tell it didn't need anything else. And then every so often when there's something you need to know about, and the main reason that I thought this was important is because John, I can't tell you how many people have messaged me or tweeted or whatever and said, oh, I didn't know y'all were going to be in Birmingham, or I didn't know you're going to be in Auburn. And I'm like, I felt like I was spamming Twitter and Facebook with that information, and yet people still didn't know. So if we can get everybody into an email group as well, then the patrons will have a way to find out, and other folks will have a way to find out about things like that. And then I won't have to do quite so much spamming of the social media, right? So go to www.auwishbone.com and just enter your email address, and you'll be on our list to receive very occasional updates like, hey, we're going to be in Birmingham, you know, next weekend, or hey, we're going to, you know, this is a, or it's almost time to sign up for the brackets, you know, or whatever. So it's just for the most important things. All right, let's see what else is going on. Oh, we got to thank the patrons. I don't have a lot of voice left after the basketball game last night, and with all the pollen that's come out down here in this crazy part of the world. But here are the fine folks who are currently supporting the show. And I have to tell you, we don't have the soundboard this week, so I'll see what we can do, right?
We'll improvise.
We will improvise the soundboard. So we have to thank, of course, Always First, and we got to meet him this weekend and his lovely wife, who was really fun to meet, Samuel Salvatore, who says, tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming with pearl white snow. And then after that, we have Carl Von Drunker. Man, I hate laptops. They're so hard to use. Chris and Clinton Stewart, Dr. Crackham. Logan Chilton, when he heard Rule Britannia was gone, he said, No!
They're celebrating right in front of me. This is the worst.
This is the worst.
No! Look, we should just use that one from now on.
I love the excellent. Good job. High five. Yeah, I love the delay before the last one. It's just what makes it. It's like he's gotten over. No!
But then he's not really over it.
He's not really over it, no. Let's see. Ann Pridgen, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, David WDE Sammons Esquire, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. UFAN at KSC, and 2023 AU Wishbone NCAA Bracket Challenge Champion.
Bring it.
There you go.
Bring it.
So you're going up against Gary and to try to dethrone the king from last year. If Carroll Shelby would have seen the Alabama fan base on Saturday, he would have said, I don't speak Italian, but he ain't happy.
No, not bad.
There we go. Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor says, No! I usually do about two for him. There we go. Or one or the other. You get it one way or the other, Phil. Hey, we met Phil.
We did.
We saw him again.
I bet that's the first time I ever met Phil.
Yeah, you met him for the first time. I'd met him a time or two before, so that was really cool. Richard Stevens, starting July 12th, Win Carroll has a message for all the gamers on NCAA Football 24. What is it?
He says, I am the paterfamilias.
Yeah, there's a little bit, something you young people need to know or something like that. I am the dadgum paterfamilias. There you go, that's it. Close enough. Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. There was good to see Willie and his crowd. Alex Brown, Auburn Football's Elvis. We saw him.
We did. We saw Auburn football's Elvis and Auburn Elvis.
And we saw both of our both Elvi were there.
That was, though.
So we got to meet him. That was cool.
That was wonderful.
Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Chad McDowell, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Daniel Odom, Bobby, Harry Zagger, H-Town Danny. I stopped by my tobacconist only to discover his shop had been replaced by a haberdashery. Once again, clothes but no cigar.
Ow.
Yeah, that was painful. In Home Hugh, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B. This would be the tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming. Woo!
Was that the transfer portal?
That's it. No, I'm going to have no voice at all left by the end of this. No one fights like Gaston. Not me sitting here getting my hopes up. Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Rhodesian Mudflap. We finally heard the Rhodesian Mudflap story last episode.
That was great.
That's it. Rich Reimer, Rusty Owens, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Van Allen Plexico for president. I don't think I want that job. Wade Ward, Walker White, QB1.
My condition has left me cold to your pleas for mercy.
WDE Richie, Walker White for QB1. I like those two are together there, just randomly. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Bama was grabbing face masks like it was a national title from the 1920s. Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger.
What? I got to meet Obi.
Brandon Smith, Cato the Barner says, sorry everyone, but fire Mickey Dean season is back upon us. That's what we depend on him for. Charles Mooney, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Josh Teal, Kevin Mahan, Lutheran Kelly Ottaway, Mandy Thompson, Melissa Blackstone. Mandy was another one of our winners. Papa Todd, Patrick Williams.
You may not like it, but you better learn to love it, because it's the best thing going today.
Woo! There we go. Don't expect this every week, people. We couldn't keep this up.
I think you should expect it every week.
No! 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 Philip Martin, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan. There's Rob. Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston. By the way, again, I want to apologize, people, we're forgetting, but we met a lot of people. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Wiggle 87, Woody the Jag, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. A few more patrons left. I love this. One of our patrons is named A Few More Patrons Left. Alex Nguyen, Hey You Falling Up, Barls, Charkley, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald, Even Potato Laughs, thinking we used to have a Barbie as a coach. We
gotta get better at celebrating.
I'll Buy This for a Dollar, James Taylor, Jim McCrory, John Otsuki, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, The Barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
AKA Auburn Dad for life. Mark Squire. Oh, great. Captivating Kathy Bright.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
But Kathy is awesome, and she does have a lot of friends. New York Tiger has again been accused of harassing the masseuse at
Joe's Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Okay. Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky. Did we meet? We met Spanky. Yes, we did. I'm at the bottom of this list because
God wills it. Last while you can, the Monkey Boys.
Sports Illustrated Auburn Elvis, he was there. Stephen Thompson, Steve Bailey, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, plus our one-time anonymous donors, and all the other folks who came out to the book signing. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now,
questions for the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast. This is much harder without the soundboard. I'm exhausted already.
I think if you're a patron, you should request Van do it a cappella on a regular basis.
That's not going to happen. All right, what do we got in the old mailbag this week, John? All right,
we got a couple already. I'll read them. If you have a question and you would like to send it in the future to this podcast, email it to us at auwishbone@gmail.com. And we're happy to answer any of your questions. We did have a question, a little bit of a backstory question about why we do some things and talk about some things and reference some things. And okay. I did want to take a moment to reference the Origin Story podcast that we did a couple years ago, which I thought was really good and well done. It's on the aewishbone.com webpage.
Yep.
You could find it there. Or if you're using a web, you know, a podcast app, I can't remember what the name of it is.
It's the Primer, I think.
Primer episode, which goes into the history of the podcast, why we do certain things. So the question was specifically, why did we call it the Wishbone?
Yeah, and by the way, I think that was one of our COVID episodes, maybe in 2021, maybe in 2020. Yeah. It's a convoluted thing. It really goes back to John and I first started doing sports stuff together, other than just being friends at Auburn or whatever. We first started actually doing like online sports stuff. David Swanger, who's one of the longtime Auburn fans that has a mailing list and all this, he had a pick'em thing basically he was doing. And you and I started writing in.
Two Daves Pick the SEC.
Two Daves Pick the SEC, right? And we were riding in, and we called ourselves Bring Back the Wishbone, right? And that was John's, I believe that was John's idea. And so we would always be the Bring Back the Wishbone that would contribute those articles. And then when we started, and when we after that, our next thing was we started doing a column for the War Eagle Reader.
Yes.
And at that point, Bring Back the Wishbone just seemed a little unwieldy and long. People were calling us the Wishbone, but I wanted to make sure they understood it was like the Auburn Wishbone. So we just added AU on the beginning of it so it would be clear that we were writing about Auburn. And then after that, we started doing a podcast version of it. Mm-hmm. This show is basically what our old column in the War Eagle Reader morphed over into, right?
And there was a time when we were doing both.
Oh, good Lord.
Which was insane.
No, we didn't.
We both had full-time jobs. We were writing the column and doing the podcast. That was a
little children.
Yeah, so we had small children at the time.
Good Lord, how did we do that? I don't even know.
Heavy drugs. I don't know.
It must have been. But eventually we decided, let's just do the podcast. And as of 2012, we were doing the podcast, and as of probably 2017, we've been like religiously weekly since probably 17, I think it was. Because that's when it was when we set up the Patreon. We said if we're going to have people support the show financially, then we need to provide them content constantly, like regularly. And we've been the most, I think one of the reasons we have a lot of listeners is that it's dependable. We're always, it's like a TV show. It always comes on the same time every week. And that's huge.
That is. Sometimes Van and I are not having a great day, but we are there every week doing the podcast and talking about Auburn sports. And as I always say, it's the conversation we'd be having if we weren't recording.
Yeah, so. That's exactly it. We've always talked. We talked since we were friends at Auburn, and we've just decided to let everybody else listen in too and all the craziness.
And I do think I heard that in some of the conversations with patrons and listeners this weekend, is that people appreciate that.
Yeah. The conversational nature. They said it's not like tense and wound up and everything. It's calming and it's, you know, it's enjoyable without all the pressure and the, yeah. So that's cool. And I mean, cause all these other shows have their selling points. I mean, good Lord, the stuff that Zach Blackerby does is amazing. It's fantastic. I couldn't do 30, 40 minutes every day on Auburn. I'd never want to talk about it again, probably. So bless him and all the other folks that do stuff. I mean, I listen to Jay Tate's show. Yep. You know, there's other shows. So we just do our thing. And our thing is just different enough that we get an audience that appreciates it. So that's cool. All right, have other questions?
We got two questions here. First question is from Wynn Carroll.
Yep.
Who says, gentlemen, as it becomes painfully apparent that my doctoral please clap dissertation will not magically complete itself while I'm off on spring break. It looks like I'll be back in Norman, Oklahoma during the fall when the Sooners join the SEC. One of my favorite small talking points with the inhabitants of my temporary scholastic home is what they're looking forward to most about joining a conference that just means more. Hmm. The answers range from woefully uninformed, I want to see a night game at Tiger Stadium, or Athens sounds like a friendly, welcoming place with fair-minded academics and patricians, to wise beyond their years. I'm downloading Tinder when I land in Oxford to try to find a good tailgate at the Grove. I figured I would turn the tables on you and ask you a similar query. What are you looking forward to the most about the arrivals of Sooner to Jordan-Hare this upcoming fall? Is there anything you're looking forward to when the Tigers travel to Oklahoma Memorial Stadium in 2028-ish? To a lesser extent, almost as an afterthought, is there even anything to look forward to about the other Cal College south of the Red River joining the SEC? Thanks for your time. Mm. And he says, well, I know Van isn't going to join the fun. John, just remember, when you feel bold enough to be online in College Football 25, and he says, cue the soundboard, I am the Potter Familius, Wynn Carroll.
That's good. Now, we've talked about what we're looking forward to in terms of, like, I'm looking forward to going to Austin. I don't know much about Norman, Oklahoma. I'm not sure that if I'd made the trip all the way to Norman, Oklahoma, that I'm going to get there and be like, man, this was a great choice. I'm so glad I'm out here. Other than just to see Auburn play Oklahoma. Yeah. But Austin, there's like 15 things on the list I want to do. And going to the Auburn game is like the number one. It gets me out there, but it's the gateway that gets me to all the other things. But I mean, what are you most looking forward to about having them in?
Oklahoma is a historically traditionally excellent program.
Yes.
We have not gotten to play them a lot. We had the one stupid Sugar Bowl where we played well and they were kind of underseeded and we were kind of overseeded. And
yes.
It did not go well for us. And so part of it is I just feel like they're a quality team and it's going to be fun to play them. I think, you know, Auburn fans are very welcoming and I think they'll like coming to Auburn. I think it'll be a good rivalry between Auburn and Oklahoma, and I look forward to playing them on a regular basis. One of the other interesting things I think is the coach was on the list and wasn't interested in Auburn in some ways.
That's
so
right.
I think there's a little bit of extra juice there all with right. that and the revenge for the Sugar Bowl game. But also, I think it's just I view Oklahoma as another kind of like measuring stick program in the SEC. That's yeah. It's going to be tough for them and tough for us and tough for everybody once mm-hmm. they're in. But I'm excited. I'd go to a game in Norman, Oklahoma. I'd be excited to go out there to see the little Sooner run around the field and stuff. And
it's one we haven't been to.
Yeah,
because when we went to Arkansas, I've kind of like I don't know. There's what if I mean, are there any left that I haven't done now? I think I've done all 12 now. So this is a new vista opening up.
So I'm. You know, we've talked about the schedule change a lot. I view it as like I'm tired of playing the same teams. I want to play different teams a little bit. And so in that sense, like I view Oklahoma as a different team that we have not gotten to play very much. And so I'm excited to get some games in with them over the next 10 years. I want to play them. I want to here and there. And I want to play them pretty regularly. And I'm excited to see what happens with that.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. It's just another good program. It's a team that we would have been excited about to play non-conference.
Yes. Yeah, if they were non-conference home and home, I would be equally excited.
Yeah. And we're going to get to play them at home in Jordan-Hare once every 4 years. See, that's the thing, too, is that they're coming in not the way Missouri and Texas A&M did, where you play there once, well, like Missouri did for us, which is once every 12 years. No, they're redoing the whole thing, so we're going to get to be every 4 years. This is three. I don't think people appreciate that. I just don't think people understand that changing the schedule the way they have is going to make it so much better in terms of not playing the same teams every year and not playing the same teams. Yes. It's going to be huge, right? So, yes, we'll only play at LSU once every 4 years. Oh, no. Heaven forbid. But we'll also play at Texas once every 4 years, at Missouri once every 4 years, at Florida.
Yes.
Once every 4 years. At Tennessee, once every 4 years. This is fantastic.
Yes.
I'm very excited about this.
I'm very excited about it. Again, I talk about this a lot. I'm very excited about playing Tennessee and Florida more often.
Yes, and we're going to because of this. Mm-hmm. If the price we have to pay to play Tennessee and Florida twice every 4 years, which we will, is not playing LSU but twice every 4 years, sign me up. Hey, I'm down.
I'm in.
Yes.
Sold.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Any other listener questions?
Last one is from Samuel Salvatore, who we got to meet yesterday. He says, hello, guys at War Eagle. Hillary and I, we're so glad to meet you. Thank you for such an awesome weekend and the time for the visit we had. He says, so in the SEC tournament, Alabama is the 3 seed and Auburn is the 4 seed. I know we don't like Alabama ahead of us, but really, after the bracket came out, I was happy because we get Vanderbilt, Arkansas, or South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Alabama may have Georgia and Missouri, but there's also Florida, laugh out loud. Thank goodness we don't see Florida or A&M unless they win and we win. What That's are your right. thoughts about that?
100% agree, Sam. You're exactly right. We talked about we didn't want Florida, but I'm glad he mentioned A&M because we were joking yesterday, the team that always seems to knock us out of the tournament the last few years is Texas A&M. So I'm perfectly satisfied with not seeing, and maybe they'll lose before we even would get a chance to play them anyway, right?
I agree. Both of those teams might be out before we get to see them, which would be a good thing.
That would be ideal, right? There's some teams that just you have their number and some have your number, and for whatever reason, we've really struggled with Florida. I mean, you know, we haven't beaten them in Florida since our former assistant coach was the point guard, right? And his son wasn't even born. And when we played, I just never forget, when we played Florida in the SEC tournament, the Final Four year, 2019, talk about a rock fight. That game was a fight start to finish. It was nip and tuck, and I don't know, we barely pulled it out.
Yes.
That was one of the hardest games. I mean, we had a harder time with Florida than we do with Kansas or North Carolina.
Yes, you're right.
So Yeah, I would much rather. In fact, this was interesting. I was looking this up about Florida's basketball team. I was like, they named the court Billy Donovan. I'm like, how long was he there? You know, he was there like 20 years and won what?
Won two national titles.
National championships. Yeah. This was what blew my mind. They said that Florida, I don't think it was games. I think it was postseason games maybe. Florida won more postseason games under Billy Donovan than every Florida coach combined other than him.
I believe that. They've never had any postseason basketball success before.
That's another reason why I'm thinking we might have a shot at getting Golden if the time should ever come. And again, I'm not against Junior, you know, taking over if that's what the powers that be think. It just doesn't, like I said before, it doesn't have a great track record.
No.
But you never know. And he seems to be a great assistant coach. So if that's how the cookie crumbles, and we talked about last time, you know, if you go with Bruce's son, if it doesn't work out, then you go get Golden and he doesn't have to follow Bruce. So there's a you know, but you hope it does because he's young guy. We could have 40 more years of success if he was good. You know,
yes, that's right.
With Stephen Pearl. Yeah. So, all right. We have any around the SEC? Let's take a trip. Run if you want to. Let's take a trip around the SEC. It's funny. Mira's actually texting me right now. I should probably just have her FaceTime in and do that, but that's fine.
But it's not 6-year-old Mira. Never.
It's not, so it wouldn't be the same.
I'm some of this stuff I'm going to put off, but there's a bunch of rule changes and stuff in college football that are happening, and there's a bunch of playoff stuff that's happening. And I want to come back to the playoff stuff and have a more in-depth discussion. I don't love how the SEC is throwing its weight around. They're talking about extra money for just the SEC and the Big Ten and extra buys and stuff. And we're going to talk all about that in depth when we get closer. But I wanted to get your feedback on this. One of the things they added as a rule change is a 2-minute warning in college football.
Oh, so like it's basically an extra free timeout that both teams will get the benefit of once they get a stoppage of play after the 2 minutes to go.
And an extra commercial break.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Yes. We sped up the game, and now we're going to add a 2-minute warning. There's no need for that.
I mean, I feel like we're on a slippery slope toward college football teams' jerseys looking like English soccer teams with like Sony and
ding, ding, ding.
All that all plastered all over them, like a NASCAR car.
If they said, we could make another $10 million in the playoff if the teams wore these stickers or patches.
And that's the thing is you asked me the thing about the 2-minute warning, and I immediately start thinking strategically, and then you're like, for more ads. And I'm just like, my brain does the record scratch sound, right? And I'm just like, why was I even bothering to think how would that affect the game when it's not about the game? So imagine that. Big time college sports and money being an issue. Who would have ever thought it?
No, it's a thing. But there's a bunch of other rule changes. They are looking at an earlier high school signing period, maybe even before the season starts, like in the late summer, to let players who know where they want to go ahead and sign. Good and bad. And so I think that kind of thing is good. But you know, some of these other things I don't know about. But we'll go through all that stuff. We got plenty of off season time to talk through all of this.
Yep.
And right now we got to focus on SEC basketball tournament, big game Friday afternoon, and then the NCAA bracket comes out a week from today, and we'll be looking, analyzing Auburn's matchup and where Auburn's going and what the road looks like. And I'm gonna say what I said last week. I think this basketball team is playing well, and I feel good about it heading into the SEC tournament. I think you pointed out the stat a lot about Bruce winning SEC tournament games, and I think we could get off the stick there.
It hasn't been good, but So, yeah, I feel about as good as I could about this team, I think, right? Because I think we understand now. Now, I'll say this. The thing that bothers me, the thing that concerns me now thinking about it is that one thing we've learned is this team is a better offensive team after they've had a few days off. So I expect and Bruce always says the first game, we heard him say this last night, the first game of the tournament's always the hardest.
Yeah.
So they'll have 5 days of rest. So they'll be shooting the ball, hopefully, better than they would be on 3 days of rest, right? Because they never seem to shoot the ball well on 3 days of rest. Win that hard-to-win first game, probably over South Carolina, And then we have, if we get that far, right, and you win that game over probably South Carolina, then we have to hope that their scoring doesn't go away in the second game because they'll play the next day.
That's right.
This is not a team I would want playing from starting Wednesday night.
No, I think our depth would be an advantage compared to other teams, but you're right.
That they don't shoot well, though. No. Depth or no depth, they just don't shoot well after a short period of time. So I'm glad it's kind of playing out the way it is, honestly. We just got to get past that first game because, you know, as John was mentioning, the stat I always point out is just so mind-boggling is that under Bruce, we've won SEC tournament games twice, 2 years. The very first year he was here, we won a couple of games, shocked everybody. And then the final 4 year, we won the tournament. And other than that, not a single one. And again, to be fair, the Samir Dowdy team was I think could have won it.
They could have done some damage in the
They absolutely. Were so good, and the COVID thing messed them up.
And in the other years that we've had some bad luck, we had, you know, last year, super hot Arkansas team, hottest team in the country, getting all their players back from injury. And then in the years before that, a couple years with A&M
just had their number somehow.
But playing a different style and stuff, it causes problems. So
And that the Kessler-Jabari team was on the way down.
Yes.
At that point. They peaked in January. I don't feel like this team has peaked yet.
No, I don't. And I think this is a great defensive team, and that's going to keep them in every game. And then I think they're a better offensive team than people give them credit for. I think they can do the damage offensively. Won every single game this year by double digits that they won. That's impressive.
That's crazy. Yeah, they really did. So, all right, no other features this week. We will come back with Jared's Guess the Game segment when we actually have it available to play it. But we're not really logistically able to right now. But otherwise, I guess any final thoughts?
It was a wonderful weekend. It was great to see everybody and meet people. And thank you all for coming by and making the effort. And we look forward to seeing you down the road.
And there's two things you can sign up for if you hadn't already. If you want to find out about events like this, go to www.auwishbone.com. Sign up on our email list and we'll send out word to everybody. And or just go ahead and go to www.auwishbone.com, become a patron, click on the big orange button, and you'll be in the middle of everything, part of the family. We would love to have you. So, all right, our time is up. Here in John's glorious bedroom in Auburn, Alabama. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.